It is such always for me. It is a privilege and honor to bring the word to you this morning. I as one who is growing in it, I am challenged a lot by it, and I thank God for the opportunity to do it. So let me pray. The theme is prayer always. So let me pray. Father, I pray, Lord, that you will guide me this morning as I bring this word. I pray, Father, that your words will be spoken and not mine. I pray, Lord God, that as you are so, so true to yourself, Lord, and that your word says you can never lie, that you say in your word that your word will not return to you void. It will not return empty. So I thank you, God, that this morning, that this word that is brought here, Lord, will be good fruit for all of us, Father God, that it'll be nourishment to our spirits and our souls and to our bones, that we will continue on in the course for your glory. Amen. Amen and amen. So in the last couple of weeks, I just want to actually welcome you all. Rainier, it is wonderful to see you. Welcome everyone, Phil, Jackie, Joseph. If I don't mention your name, it's not because I'm not wanting to mention you, but it's just because, you know, we have a sermon to get to. But it's just lovely to see you, and hello to all of you. Hello to our online viewers as well. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. A word that has been burdened on my heart lately is not out of, I won't say it came out of my time spent with the Lord, which is really strange. It's going to be like, oh my goodness, even the guy that's preaching is not bringing a word that he spent time with in the Lord. I'm going to explain. It's not like that. It came out of my circumstances. The word I'm bringing to you this morning came out of circumstances, came out of my own journey in the last couple of weeks of navigating through this thing that we call life. We all have the same experience. Some way, in some shape or form, we all get up in the morning, we go through what we have to go through in life, and we go to bed at night, and we repeat it day after day until the day, right? And all of that means that there are things that happen to us, there are things that come around, we work, we have dreams, we do all of those things, and it escalates to a point where sometimes we might not even know how we got to a certain point. My situation, how I'm here this morning, the grace that has allowed me to be here, is connected to my journey in the last couple of weeks, which has been a challenging one, out of fault as well. I'm absolutely transparent in saying that just as God is faithful to us, I am so in awe of the grace of God. I want to talk to you this morning about something that I want to continue on with in terms of what Hercules has been sharing, and just the time that we are in right now, which has been about prayer. We all have heard his series lately, The Praying House. If you haven't, please go to Shofar Sermons and have a listen to them. It's really a good word for us. What I want to say boldly, and I want to state from the get-go, is that church, for us right now, we are not in a season of prayer, okay? Just so that we understand, this is not a season of prayer. This is not something that we're going to do for a little bit and then it's going to stop. What is happening and what God is saying to us as a church is that there is something in the spirit that we need to tap into as we continue on in prayer. Our legacy is going to be prayer. Our lifestyle is that of prayer. Okay, so I just want to put that out there from the beginning. So last week, I wasn't able to be here. I came right at the end, and I managed to make it so that we could pray for the team and send them off. But I wasn't here, but I listened to the sermon, and when I was listening to it, there were a few things that stood out to me. I'm only going to highlight two. And one of them was what Hercules said. He said, the answers and the heart of God, that abiding in him only, the answers that we want to the things that we need, God only gives those answers to the people that want it the most. The people that are going to wrestle with him and stick with him and desire those answers, God is only going to give it to the people that want it the most. And that really shook me because I was like, okay, cool. There's something here that's being addressed that has got to do with longevity. The longevity of praying. The longevity of the quality of being able to stick it through. See something through to the end. Yes? Almost that kind of character that Paul had where he says, I think it's in Philippians. Yes, it's Philippians 3:14 where he talks about him pressing toward that upward goal, that call, that him, he's run the race and he's gonna, you know, he's just, that's what the call is for him and he goes for it, right? And then the second thing that stood out for me was this. Faith is persistent until we see breakthrough. That one is almost, it's almost where this sermon is coming from for me. Because I got to thinking, okay, so faith is persistent until we see breakthrough. So if I say I have faith, then I'm declaring that in my lifestyle, I am faithful in the pursuit of my faith. Does that make sense? In my lifestyle, I am faithful in the pursuit of my faith. Faith does not come by hearing, but by the word of God. Right? So if I don't actively engage in a lifestyle of faith, I cannot call myself faithful, is basically what I'm trying to say to you. If I don't pursue it, if I don't actively go for it, I cannot call myself someone who has faith. This was, I don't want to say a revelation because then I'm going to use revelation all the time in the sermon, but this was something that I was like, oh my word, okay, God. Me, am I faithful in the things that I'm asking you for? Or am I just asking you for the thing and then stepping away from it? Right? So the introduction to all of this became when I was reminded of the scripture in Romans 5, verse 2-5. And I'm going to read it for us now because it's something that is something that this whole sermon is about. And it's basically, I think, an important or a next step in where we are going as a church. Romans 5, verse 2-5 says, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. A beautiful mouthful. Beautiful mouthful. So what then does being persistent in our faith until we see breakthrough have to do with this scripture? I'm going to read something to you that I think was another distilling thing, part of scripture that made me sort of stand still a bit. Proverbs 13:12 says this, something that I think we might be in danger of if we don't reconcile the fact that if we are not persistent in the praying, if our faith is not persistent until we see breakthrough, we are not going to be able to sustain it in the natural, sustain our faith in the natural. We need something else. And that something else is this. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. That's what Proverbs 13:12 says. So the reason we pray is for breakthrough because breakthrough represents the fulfilled desire that is a tree of life. Breakthrough represents the fulfilled desire that is the tree of life. So then what does that mean? So that means for us to be able to continue in prayer, for us to be able to be steadfast, we need the evidence of that prayer, the evidence of that faith. We need that hope. Otherwise, the heart will become sick, will become tired. I know I have examples of that in my own life, where I've stopped praying because I've just become sick, tired, not engaged enough, discouraged, a beautiful word. So the breakthrough in our lives, the reason why you and I need to desire it is because that breakthrough is a breath of hope. Hope makes you stronger to continue on for bigger and greater things. Not just the thing that you have experienced yesterday or the grace that you experienced this morning. For us to get to a place where we want God's kingdom to come on this earth, we need our hope and our faith to grow. We need it to grow. We need it to become bigger. We need it to be at a place where we're going, God, we know for a fact that you can do this because we have seen you do that. Not because we are so amazing, but because the natural progression of things is that when you and I commit ourselves to a pattern of being engaged in faithfully desiring something to come to pass, we see the hope that it brings. You get excited about something. You get engaged about wanting it again and again and again. It is an exciting thing. But in Romans 5, verse 2 to 5, it also speaks about something else, though, something else being produced. And that thing that produces hope is what? What's the thing right before in that scripture that produces hope? Character. So it says, sufferings produce endurance, endurance produce character, character produces hope. Us as a church, I'm speaking to you because I'm speaking to myself. This is something God is challenging me about. Sifiso, what kind of man are you? Malisha, what kind of woman are you? Jen, what kind of woman are you? Nigel, what kind of man? Renee, what kind of man are you? Are you a man of character? Are you a woman of character? Or do you as well get tossed to and fro by the wind? Okay, so character. What is this thing, right? An abstract concept. I'm going to try and break it down for us in terms of biblical importance and why it's so important. Verse 2 also talks about us rejoicing in the hope of glory, in hope of the glory of God. Okay, so persistent and faithful until we see breakthrough means then, for me, as I'm reading this, as I'm trying to work through this with God, being persistent and faithful until we see breakthrough means that there's a desire to see things fulfilled, which brings hope, and that hope points to the glory of God. Okay, so the first verse of Romans 5, the second verse, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So if I am desiring, if I am persistent enough to see something fulfilled, then it means when that thing is answered, there's a breath of hope. And that hope is not because of me, but it points to the glory of God. So what's the glory of God? I was asking God. I was like, God, what is your glory? We sing about it. We talk about it. We are so enthusiastic about God, to the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. To your glory, God. Let it be done for the glory of God. What is it? Pastor John Piper says it this way. He defines God's glory as the public display of the infinite beauty and worth of God. God's glory is the radiance of his holiness, the radiance of his manifold infinitely worthy, valuable perfections. Mouthful again. Lord, what's going on? All right, so what John Piper is saying here is that you and I represent the glory of God. We were made in his image. Creation represents the glory of God. So creation is not hidden away. Everyone can see it. Creation, in its fullness, will always point back to God, because it is in that creation that God's glory has, God's self has been imbued. God's person is within it. And so it shouts back, it points back, as scripture says, it points and it shouts back to the Lord of hosts, holy, 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 glory, glory to the King. You and I, being made in his image, we are a part of the glory of God. So that hope that comes through staying the course and being committed to prayer until we see breakthrough points us to a rejoicing in the radiance of God's manifold worth and perfection. If we don't have that hope, if we don't have that thing come through, we cannot see God in all of it. You cannot see God's manifold goodness. You cannot see God's worthiness. It is the worthiness and the goodness of God that then in turn, all of this is like a connected cycle. Without the holiness and the glory of God, we cannot know hope. If we don't understand what the glory of God is, we cannot find hope. If we don't get ourselves to being in that place where we seek fullness and hope, then we cannot know the glory of God. Does this make sense to you? Are you with me so far? I'm going to keep going because it was all in my brain as well, trying to figure out. I'm like, God, what's going on? But I'm going to keep going with this. Stick with me. We have to stay the course. So why don't I pray then, Lord? Why do I get frustrated with myself with not staying the course? Why do I get frustrated with myself with not being persistent through prayer and seeing something through until there is breakthrough? Why don't I do it? The main reason why we don't do it is because you and I treat suffering in a very different way than how God meant to treat it. We are promised, John 16:33 says, I have said these things to you, this is Jesus, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. It was beautiful for us to be singing that song this morning. The thing that I found when I asked myself this question, why am I not seeing breakthrough, God? And the Holy Spirit was saying to me, because you're not staying the course. And I was going back to him going, but why should I stay the course? Why can't we just, When we ask for something, why can't we just get it? Doesn't that make it easier? Because then we will all have faith. Then we will all grow in hope. Then we will all see the glory of God, right? Isn't that fair? Only Sipiso thinks that way. No. It's okay. The reason why we don't stay the course is because you and I can go through a trial or a suffering and we will maybe not endure it. We will maybe not stay the course, and so therefore our character is not built, and therefore our testimonies of hope are absent. What I'm saying to you is, sometimes, and I'm using this word because I use it in my life in the negative connotation and not in the positive connotation that it means. Sometimes you and I, when we are going through a trial or a tribulation or suffering, sometimes we just merely cope with it. And we want to get through to the other side, not having actually grown in any way. We just want to cope. We just want to sort of, that survival mentality, you just want to sort of scrape through and make it to the end. We don't want to engage with our trial. We don't want to engage with our suffering. We don't want to engage with the tribulation. So therefore, no character is built in any way. And as the scripture says, not me, as the scripture is, if there is no character, there's no hope that can be produced. But the character only gets built
for us to get to hoping, the character only gets built by you and I going through what is promised. The other three, we have to sort out ourselves. See, we tend to look at the scripture and we go, yes, okay, fine. Suffering produces blah, 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 blah. And we know it off by heart and it's great. We know it that way and that's how it is. And because we know that we are promised tribulation, we take it for granted that we will get into the other things. We take for granted that, this is my season of tribulation. Just as the word says, tribulation is here. Which means, Romans 5, 2-5 says, suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. So all I need to do is just make it through. That's not what that scripture is saying. That scripture is saying you need to not just make it through. You need to endure actively. You need to pursue, wrestle with God through your suffering, what it is that you're meant to be seeing on the other side. You need to be going through it, going, okay, God, this is it. Fine, let's pray. Okay, God, this is it. This friend of mine is going through this thing. We're praying. Hey, this is not just about us, hey? Please think of this as the extended family, the people that are your neighbors, the people that are your friends, the people that confide in you and say to you, I'm going through this, it's hard. My family, someone is sick and it's terminal, it's hard. That is a trial. That is a suffering. That is someone's tribulation. But for us, sometimes we're just satisfied with being like, I'm there for you, my friend. And that's not enduring. Now, the definition of coping, please hear me correctly. The definition of coping is not what we treat coping as. We treat coping as just making it through. I'm not going to speak for you. I'm going to speak for me. I know I treat coping in my life. When I say, hey, look, I'm coping, I know it's a negative connotation because coping actually has got to do with successfully walking through something and making it to the other side. It's almost interchangeable with the definition of endurance. Let me read it for you. The ability to withstand an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. Without giving way. I know sometimes when I cope, my coping is, here's my issue, I'm going to stand here from it. And just let time happen to it, or let the thing happen to it, and that's it. But if we read it in the definition, it says, without giving way. I have just given way to my tribulation. To say to it, something else, deal with it. I'm not going to deal with it. But God is saying, no. You must be in it. You must stand in it, and you must work through it. Work through. Go. Here we go. You've not given way, but you've made a step forward. This is good, Sifiso. Well done. Not the opposite. Not the opposite. So for me, when I was like working through this, I was like, okay, fine. Mind is being expanded. I won't say explode because that's a bit graphic, but mind is being expanded. Mind is being stretched. Spirit is being challenged. Oh my goodness, where next? What do we do now, God? And God was like, okay, pray. I was like, but God, I mean, we're on the flow here. We're on a roll. I'm writing the sermon. What's happening? Come on. Talk to me more about my character and my... Okay, pray. Search the scriptures. Pray. And then Romans 12:12 came up, and this is what it says, which I think should be a blueprint. I know it's definitely a blueprint for me. It says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. That's what Romans 12:12 says. If there's anything you take away from today, just that verse. Not Sifiso's words, but the verse that encourages you, that says to you that you need to rejoice in the hope, which we know now is the hope of glory. You need to be patient in prayer, which we'll get to in a second, and you need to be constant patient in tribulation, and you need to be constant in prayer, which Hercules has been unpacking for us for weeks. Constant in prayer. So in other words, I must rejoice in the glory of God, the glory that we know radiates his worthiness, the glory that radiates his perfection, the glory that is all about who he is in his goodness and his holiness, the glory that shows us that this God who's done this thing for me, he is the glory that this must go to. He is the one that has done this for me. He is the one that will always be faithful to bringing me even more things, bringing me even more successes in my prayers. Because the prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. But if you are not praying, we want the availing much. But it says, the prayer, be constant in prayer, that must avail much. Your righteousness is part of the character that must be built. There is no hope without a building of character. Okay, let's keep going. So I must be patient in my tribulation. I must stay the course and endure it actively, being constant in prayer, because that will produce the character, and the character will thus produce the hope. And that scripture also says that hope does not put us to shame. Other translations say it does not disappoint. So why will hope not put us to shame? Any guesses? It's in that scripture, Romans 5, 2-5. Why will hope not put us to shame? Because of this. It won't put us to shame because of who we hope in. Who we hope in has already proven himself. How? Through his love. Who we hope in has already proven himself through his love. John 3:16, the most well-known scripture that everyone knows, even if you're not a Christian in church this morning, you probably know this scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will have life. God proved it. In the rest of this scripture, it's all in here. All in this whole character-producing, hope-inducing, beautiful scripture of Romans 5, it says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So important to be Spirit-filled. So important. Because the Spirit is love. I'm doing Bible school at the moment. What a blessing. It's challenging. Challenging in the sense that time management is a thing. You have to figure it out to get all those modules done. You have to make sure that you get the work in. So there's no time for busyness or excuses. You just have to figure it out. You and I have that responsibility. It's my time. I can't be like, I can't do it. Because it's my time. I must figure it out. So that's a beautiful challenge that Bible school has brought to me. But this is what Bible school says about the Spirit and about love. So it says, and it talks about, the module is titled, The Holy Spirit, His Person, right? And it says, only as we live in love can we fulfill the will of God in our lives. The believer must become love-inspired, love-mastered, and love-driven. Oh man, that's lovely. Without the fruit of the Spirit, open bracket, close bracket, love. So love here is being put together with the Spirit. Without the fruit of the Spirit, we are just a religious noise. Not my words, from Bible school. Amazing. So here, this love, capital L, and the Spirit, capital S, as it's being personified, this has been given to us. This love has been given to us. Galatians 5:22-23, another scripture that you know very well, but I'm hoping that the Spirit is unlocking things and you're hearing things differently this morning. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Do you know someone who is filled with the Spirit? Someone who's filled with the Spirit. Someone who has worked through it with God. Gone through and built character. You know, all of these guys, Paul, all of the women in the Bible, everyone in this book, having gone through stuff. A person who has the evidence of these fruits in their lives, the reason why it says for these things there is no law is because you will desire to do what is for God's glory. You will desire to be good to your neighbor. You will desire to have patience, to be long-suffering. You will desire to have and to show all the attributes of God because of the love that is in you. No law can stop you from being kind. Your breaking of a law should not be evident if these fruits are ruling and reigning in your life. Does that make sense? Because getting a speeding ticket means that you self-control. What's going on there? Do you know what I mean? No law should be problematic for you if these fruits rule and reign in your life. But that's a topic for another. We can go down that road as well, but we're not going to do it. But what I want you to know is that there is something that is represented in the love that God has poured into our hearts that is important for us to have and to nurture and to grow. Also from Bible school, C.S. says it. He says, gifts are given. Pastor C.S. LaRue, gifts are given, fruits are grown. You don't get a fruit just by being like, I want a grape now. And then the grape falls out of the sky. The farmers who are responsible for the beautiful grapes that you buy from Sainsbury's and Tesco's go out and they take the seeds and they put it in the ground. And they do the whole thing with the grapes, months and seasons, and harvesting them, bringing them, packaging them nicely. And Tesco's puts them on the shelves. You go in there with your pounds, and you buy it. That's the story of that grape. That grape came from a seed. It did not come from just you and me hoping or wishing for it. Now, I want you to hear something else here that I'm telling you about. So, inasmuch as a fruit has to grow, in the same way, our resilience in prayer and faith has to grow. Our desire to have these beautiful fruits of the Spirit, those things, we must nurture and grow them. You are not going to get patience by just saying, God, give me patience. Do you know what God does? God says to you, Sifiso, Sifiso, you've got a beautiful family. Here are two kids. Figure out patience. That's how you grow it. You don't get goodness by just being like, I am so good. Goodness comes from you being in a trying situation, and the testimony of how you get out of it on the other side is whether or not that goodness is a fruit in your life. But you have to go through it the other side. We reverse engineer so many things in our day and age because of the time that we live in. We reverse engineer everything. When we talk about concepts and things like hope and character, we easily want to just get it now. And we forget that we have to walk through it. We have to go through a journey, man. The storm. Someone said it this morning, like the trials and the storms, there's a reason for it. Those two elephants, they weren't going to get on dry ground if they didn't go through the storm. All right, so we have to grow.
We have to grow in it. We have to grow in it. The fruit of love, it's a beautiful thing, and we have to grow in it. Our suffering, our enduring, our character building, and our hoping will be a part of that fruit. You cannot get to that end result without having gone through all of these things. Any one of us, you and I, if we are worth our salt, we will have the stories to tell of how of what we've gone through, what God has brought us, what God has done through that, and us straining for more, as Paul says, straining for even bigger, even better. But we can't have that exchange without the going through. All right. Just something that I thought was really beautiful in terms of love, and I want to share with you, which is such a multifaceted thing. You can't quantify love, but the reason why you and I need to be faithful in our pursuit of all of these things, of our suffering and our character building and our hoping, and eventually our love expanding. The reason why we need to do that is because of the following. These are the different fruits, right, of the Spirit. Joy is love's strength. Peace is love's security. Patience is love's endurance. Kindness is love's conduct. Goodness is love's character. So you and I need to honor this if we want to ever be considered as people who are character, full of character, good standing. Faithfulness is love's confidence. Gentleness is love's humility. And self-control is love's victory. So yes. Okay. Peter says the following. Because you've heard me say now, I don't need to expound on it anymore. But what I will say, just to finish it off. The first two matters that we address in Romans 5, verse 2 to 5, the suffering and the endurance, those things are those things are things that will happen to us. Yes, that's a question that God will always ask you. You will have a tribulation, because that is promised to every human being, whether you believe in God or not. You will have tribulation. And then the other question is, okay, so how are you going to walk through this, right? So that's a constant thing. The other two, the character and the hope, are abstract things that we aren't necessarily able to quantify. I can't quantify what character is. I can't quantify what hope is. Well, neither can I quantify what endurance is. But these last two, the character and the hope, for you and I to be able to continue to ask God for more for this church, for more for the body of Christ, for more for the kingdom of heaven to be here on earth, His will being done here on earth, for you and I to get to that place, those two things can only get stronger. Character and hope can only get stronger if these two things are things that you and I do well. Suffering and enduring. Now, I'm not saying go ask for suffering. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when it comes, when it happens, when life happens, when the morning that you wake up and you're trying to go to work and the tire bursts and there's traffic on the road and there's black ice on it and you've slipped and you've hit the car in front of you and no one is able to help you and the person that stepped out of the car, I can go on and on and on with the dreadful day that could happen to you and the month that it could turn to and everything else, right? So when that tribulation happens, when that suffering happens, or even when stuff that you are not, it blindsides you, illness, death in the family, hard situations at work, redundancies, when things become hard, the only way you and I can know
what kind of character we have and what kind of hope we hold before us is how we deal with these two. You get stronger by it. And I tell you, the stronger you get, the more of the glory of God you and I will see. The one thing I was challenged by as well, whilst I was going through this and going through my week and having to say to God, God, forgive me. The one thing I was challenged by is the fact that God's glory is not a little box thing as well. It's not the thing that you saw yesterday or last month or last year or even the day that you got saved. It's not that glorious day that you experienced it. God was saying to me, you are holding on to a glory that has happened in the past, an experience that has happened in the past. But my glory is deeper and it's bigger. It's far-reaching. You have not even seen it. The scriptures tell us that we have not even begun to know the depths of God. Which means then that the glory of God is another thing that is massive, that has been held for the hosts and the angels and those seraphim and the cherubim that are there seeing holy, 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 seeing God in his fullness. But here on earth, we don't have that reference. So we must want more of it, not sit on the thing that happened a few weeks ago. That thing that happened a few weeks ago, which is where the cycle keeps going and it feeds itself, the thing that happened a few weeks ago feeds into the fact that the glory of God is encouraging me to see even more of it. But you and I cannot be consistent in our prayer because we are not wanting to go through the thing that will allow me to see it. And so because I don't see it, I don't know what I'm doing really. I don't know what I'm hoping for. I don't know what I'm living for. I'm living for God. I love God. But I'm not seeing the evidence of God. And so my heart gets sick. My hope is deferred. I get discouraged. And I get happy with the fact that I'm a Christian. Okay, at least I can call myself a Christian. But deep down inside, there's something that's gnawing at you. It's eating at your heart and your spirit that you go, but why in my life I'm not seeing this thing? Why in my life am I not XYZ? It's because God's saying, listen, when the things come up, you got to figure this out, man. You got to figure it out. You got to endure. You got to wrestle through it with me. I'm here for you. I'm wanting to show you and I'm wanting to take you to the next place. You need to be obedient so that I can take you to the next place. But I can't take you to the next place because you're not ready for it. But you and I start with God, show me your glory. Show me your glory, Lord. Sing about it. Passionately. And God says, I can't show you the glory, man, because you're not ready. Look, character. You didn't even endure through the last thing. And the last thing was paying your taxes on time. That's not the truth for me. It was just an example. Not the truth, just an example. Just now everyone's like, the pastor is not paying his taxes. What's going on? No. Just an example. But within it, right, God's love that was poured out for us through his Holy Spirit, that Spirit that is love, that represents the fruits of the Spirit. God's saying, through your enduring, I want to grow these fruits so that you can step into the fullness of what the love is that I have for you guys. The fullness of the love that I've poured into you. Through your enduring, I want you to get all of the stuff. It must happen. There have been seeds that have been sown. You asked for the Holy Spirit. I gave you the Holy Spirit. But now I want you to continue on in this way. Go for it. Walk, 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 walk. Endure. But you're not enduring, Sophisa, so you're not going to see the thing. And I can't build a character that's going to lead you to hope. So we're going to just have to stay here. And then your hope is going to be deferred. And then you're not going to want to pray to me anymore. Because then you say, God doesn't hear me. And God is just saying, church, you are starting at the wrong place. I appreciate that you want to see my glory. I appreciate that you want to know me. And I have a way for you to get there. Rejoice in who I am, the glory that is in me. And rejoice in the hope Rejoice in it. Yes, we must rejoice. We must sing of God's goodness. We must rejoice of it. Rejoice of his glory. Rejoice of his holiness. But it says, but be patient in your tribulation, okay? Go ahead. Explore the fruits of the Spirit in your tribulation. Go for it. Dig deep. Stay the course with me. Walk it through. And then he says, cool. Now here's the character that's been built. Now you can walk. Now the character that is built is your testimony of what God has done. That, maybe that, quantifies what character is. The story you can tell when you know you went through the thing and you are still standing and you can say, God is pleased with it because I did what he asked me to do and I prayed and I was on my knees and this was the report. Maybe it was a bad report, but God saw us through it all. And then he says, okay, see the glimpse of my glory. We're getting there. And then he lays something else on your heart and he says, okay, now what about all the universities in London? You want to go after that? And then he says, oh, well, what about the people at your workplace? You want to go after that with me? What do you think? He says, well, this thing has put you in a good place. If you said, do you want to go for it? I go, yes, God, because I see what you did. I see what you did. I see the hope that is before me. I see the hope in your glory. I'm going to go for it. Guys, that's the reason why we must have hope. That's the reason why we must press through in our praying. Which again, as I said at the beginning, this is not a season. We are shifting gears. We are moving into another place here. 1 Peter 3:15, and then I'm closing. Every pastor says that, but this is the truth. I am closing. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect. So for you and I to be able to even move into a place where we are bringing the gospel to other people, who was part of the share course when Jessica was here and we went out into the streets and who was that their first sort of evangelism experience? Yeah. Yeah. Who walked away from that week going, I am an evangelist, I can do it? Most of us, if not all of us, walked away going, oh, this is not for me. This is not for me. I could probably say that some of us, our discouragement has gone so far as to maybe even say we have not done it again. Because we're discouraged, which is fair, fair, absolutely fair. But 1 Peter 3:15 says that you and I, having gone through all of this Romans 5:2 stuff, we need to have a reason for the hope that is in us. If you and I don't persist in the praying and in the seeking of the breakthrough, we will not have the reasons for the hope that is in us. So then why must the person on the street believe in the hope that you and I can't even answer for? Does this make sense to you? Acts 2:26. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced, my flesh also will dwell in hope. My flesh also will dwell in hope. This is probably the first time that I've read a scripture that has actually talked about the flesh in a good way. Do you know what I mean? The scripture here is saying to us that if we are doing this, our hearts will be glad, our tongues will rejoice. If we are constant, like the church of Acts is. As Hercules said, the church of Acts was the praying church. Those guys prayed. And so there's no wonder that even in their flesh, the sinful case that we are in, the sinful thing that we hold, that we walk around this earth in, the lusts of the flesh, But here, through prayer, even the flesh was subverted and submitted. Submitted under the lordship and the ruling of the Spirit. Even the flesh was dwelling in hope that, oh my goodness, I'm not so bad. Imagine your flesh giving you a break for even an hour. Your flesh giving you a break from the desires of the world. And all that your flesh wants to do is hope in the glory of God. Imagine that. That comes through prayer, through consistency, through character building, and through seeing the glory of God. Okay, sorry, it's not a touchscreen. It doesn't do that. Guys, I believe God wants us to dwell in hope. And the reason for all of that is Him. So basically, I believe God wants us to dwell, abide in Him. The only way you and I can dwell and abide and enter the courts with praise and His throne room is by praying, is by being at His feet, is by spending time with Him, is by being in a place where we are seeking and wanting to know what is on God's heart. I believe that character building is a massive part of it. Our testimony, I'm not saying to us that we're running after an abstract thing. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that what comes after us, our reputation, quote unquote. For me, what I see is beautiful in the Church of Acts is that they had beautiful character. But their character was not built from their own living righteously. It's a misconception. It's a misconception that we must live well and live good and be nice to people on the street, and that's an outward manifestation of what we really want. We want those things. We do want those things, but those things must be motivated by the right thing, which is seeing God's glory, seeing Him being glorified over all of it. And character does not get built from the outside in. It must be something that comes from the inside out. And that church was absolutely the proof of it, the evidence of it. And so I believe that we cannot build character. We cannot be a church of character if we don't stay the course. So I mean, in some ways, I'm encouraging us. Please, stay the course. If you're trusting for things, if you're trusting for people, if on those mountain cards you remember them and you find them under the closet or wherever you've misplaced them, if you're trusting and you remember what's on that list, if you're trusting for things, guys, stay the course. Because the fruit of what you're doing, the fruit of you staying the course, is the character building that is going to lead you to something beautiful, which is hope. Which means then you are unstoppable. Because the reason for you doing the things that you do is not because the church is telling you to do it, but because you see God in it. Finishing. 1 Kings 8:45. This is the last one, and I'll close with prayer. Please go read 1 Kings 8. Incredible scripture. Oh my goodness. Amazing stuff that Solomon was talking about in that scripture. Then here in heaven, their prayer. Let me actually read it for you. Let me read it for you. I'm going to read 44 and 45. So this is 44. If your people go out to battle against their enemy by whatever way you shall send them, and they pray to the Lord toward the city that you have chosen and the house that I have built for your name, then hear in heaven their prayer and their plea, and maintain their cause. God will maintain your cause, but you must maintain your praying. God cannot maintain anything for you if you are not praying, if you are not in it. Please close your eyes with me. Jen, if you could come up.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Father, for this word. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you, God, that we can thank you, Lord, just for what you've said this morning. Father, I pray for each and every one of us that have heard this word here in this place, online. Father, I just pray, Father, that you will guide us. Continue to guide us. Continue to help us. Your Holy Spirit is such a beautiful gift to us, God, that we did nothing to deserve. And so we're asking, Father, that you will continue to embolden us, that we will continue in our causes in praying through things until we see breakthrough, Father. Because we know that that breakthrough, God, Father, that breakthrough is going to produce a hope, Lord God, that leads us to the glory that is within you, Lord God, that will be unstoppable for us. Because our testimonies will just be of amazing, amazing truths that are in you, God. A glory, Father God, that'll just encourage us to keep going. Asking you for more. Trusting you for more. Father, I ask, Lord God, that as we are here, and as these words have been received this morning, Lord God, that nothing has fallen on deaf ears, Father, but that you have spoken to each individual so specifically that each of us will know what it is that we are running with, that each of us will know what it is we are setting ourselves up for in this shift that you are bringing us into, in this place where, God, we are taking the boat and pushing it off of the shore and into the waters. And we're saying, God, we want to go. God, we want to go. We've been trusting you. We've been praying. We do not stand for hope being deferred. We do not accept, God, that our hearts will be sick. But Father, we say, God, here and now, Lord, we are going to press in as Paul did. Press in and endure, Father God, and thank you, Lord, for the character building that you will do in each of us, Father. And thank you, Father, for the hope that you will bring in each of us. Father, I pray, Lord God, for those fruits to grow, Father, that we will actively seek, Father God, a growing of the fruits of the Spirit. And know that as it is poured out to us, Father God, and we pour it out to the world and the communities that we are in and the workplaces that we're in, as we pour it out, as we pour out that love, Father God, we will get to see glimpses of you. We will get to be standing in awe of you. We will get to be in a place of wonder because of you. We will get to be in a place, Lord, where we trust in you for more. Father, be glorified this morning. And I don't say just be glorified just because of being glorified, but I say, God, as we are here and as I am here, Father God, all glory to you. Because even just this morning, you have done something in my heart, and glory to you. Amen. Amen. We're going to spend some time in worship. I'll sing the last song again. And if God has spoken to you, take the time now to bring that word forward. I believe that each and every one of us hear the voice of God. I believe that. And if God is speaking to you, church, our response to hearing the word of God is to be encouraged by it. And the only way that us as a church can be encouraged by the word is by sharing it. We're encouraged to speak in spiritual psalms and hymns and encourage each other with the word. So if God gives you a word, I encourage you to please come share it. This morning it's a beautiful time because we're not just saying yes to staying here anymore. pressing in. We're pressing in. It's going to be trickier. It's going to be harder. They're going to be, I mean, Alpha's coming up. Who knows what kind of amazing things God has in store for us? But we can't wait for the 3rd of April, Wednesday, 7 o'clock, to start praying. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? We can't wait for that day. How amazing was John the Baptist? John the Baptist was like, I have been praying, I have been doing, I knew that someone like you was coming, Jesus. And yes, we're cousins, but this that I'm seeing that you're asking me to do right now, John the Baptist was praying already, preparing the way, telling the cities, telling the towns, make way, repent. So he was actively in it already. And someone wasn't, and he wasn't there yet. Christ's ministry wasn't there yet. But he was making it known. He was making it known. And when Jesus came to him and he was baptized, that's when everything was released. Released. You and I have to pray in order to release God's anointing on the things that we are trusting for. God cannot release the anointing if you and I are not praying. So if you have a word this morning, bring it. Bring it. Thank you, Jen.